fucking awesome. Come on, it's gonna be fucking awesome.
You know the words.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
That's it, see.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Good morning, everybody. It's me, the coolest geek alive. Welcome to another fabulous episode of our show. It's gonna be a lively one today because we're taking a deep dive into the greatest comic books ever that you can read to get yourself into a lifelong devotion to the hobby. And a deep dive into the history of my career in comics. And the short-lived company that I created, I Don't Know Shit About Comics, as a service to the comic book non-reader, people who are going to conventions, who are interested in comics, but you know didn't know how to approach the hobby. They weren't even sure how to read a comic. I wanted to answer all those people's questions so that we could get more people reading. There's been tons of movies and tons of TV shows. There have not been tons of new readers. In fact, there's a lot of arguments that say viewership has gone down in mainstream American comics, and most of that energy has moved over to manga and anime, and that, you know, it's a different thing than, oh, the industry is healthy. No, the traditional industry of American comics is not particularly healthy, not anymore. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why we need to translate better these customers from TV and film into comics and show people why comics are so great. So that's what today's episode is dedicated to. And by virtue of that, we're going to answer all your questions about reading comics, if you're a newbie, and give you 100 or so recommendations of great places to start for specific characters or just great places to start in reading comics in general. So hang on to your hats and bear with me because this episode is going to rock. If you really take this seriously, I am about to introduce you to a lifelong love of comic books, something I've only ever done for my brother before you. And I think we might be going into overtime. As you, if you've listened to this show before, may know, I write comic books. I have a campaign, King of Kings, that is about to wrap up. I think there's like 24 hours left if you want to get in on it. It's been a great success, and thank you. Thank you guys so much for donating to the campaign and being so cool to me. I will remember the people who helped us with this first campaign most of all as we go into our next book, Fucking for Our Future. It's a mature reader's book, but it's very funny. It's very intellectual. It's very sex positive and cool. It's not remotely sexy. It's so funny, this book that I'm doing. I'm having such a fun time subverting the space a little bit. Fucking for Our Future is essentially a Roadrunner cartoon starring this woman who's the coyote trying to get a sperm sample from these animals who live in the jungle who represent the men folk of planet Glon. These are the men. 1,000 years later, after they broke up, they need their semen, and now the men are not interested, and it's not working out. It has been so fun working on this book. I just got off the phone with my artist, Dizzy Arnold, and we've just been laughing our asses off making it, and I'm building that Kickstarter right now as this other King of Kings Kickstarter wraps up, and then I can get myself ready to fulfill all the orders for King of Kings, hopefully earlier than I said, like in October or whatever. Anyway, I love working on comic books. Comic books are my favorite medium. I really believe that it's the highest form of entertainment known to man. It gets no respect, but you have these artists who are really kind of forced by the nature of the industry, the nature of the periodical, to evolve the art styles. Like there are some artists working today, like the Arthur Adams of the world, or Dave Johnson, or Jason Pearson. Well, rest in peace on Jason. But you know, people who just create a consistent world for you to fall into when you read their books, and I just think there's nothing else like it. I've said before, one of the other big things is in a book, you know, it's a real page turner, but you still have to, like, in order to get excited, you have to speed whatever speed you can do with the book while reading. In comics, there's this page turn with a picture being worth 1,000 words. So when you can turn the page and be really shocked in an instance, the same way you can in a movie where it's not interactive, you don't turn the page, somebody's editing it for you. So a real subtle difference here of you turning the page and then getting shocked with the image. But I believe that combination, it's really striking and in balance, and it allows you to go into the minds of these artists who create, just beautiful worlds, worlds of all variety. There's just so many types of artists and so many types of styles. It's so easy to love comic books. I mean, really, like, when I only ever wanted to be smart. And when comic books were presented to me, I was like, that seems like a stupid kiddie thing. And I didn't want to be involved in it, even though I liked the idea of superheroes and I liked the idea of people being good people. But I just wasn't really willing to give it a chance. But I'm a huge comedy guy, and I ended up getting drawn into reading The Savage Dragon because it was a really funny book, and I sort of accidentally read an entire issue of The Savage Dragon because it had a character in it that I really liked visually, Bedrock. And Savage Dragon just kicked his ass and insulted the hell out of him the whole book, and I thought it was the funniest freaking thing I'd ever read in my life. It was my favorite character he was insulting, and I was just like, you're right, he is stupid. But I started comics with laughter in mind, and oh boy, is there a lot of laughter to be had in comic book reading. Oof, there is some really funny shit, especially if you like shocking things. Like if you're drawn to horror because you like the shock, there's some real merging of that genre. You know, you see it in a comic book like Boys. You know, it's like where the science fiction is brutal. Every genre of this world is represented in comic books. And I made this thing, this project, I don't know what you want to call it. I don't know shit about comics. And it was like meant to be an organization to help people get into comic books. And I'm just going to kind of maybe let the pitch thing, you know, speak for itself. But I'll tell you that my motivations came from the fact that being a writer, and I work with all these artists, we go to conventions and the writer basically can sell their book. My buddy Aaron Sparrow has learned to draw a picture of Darkwing Duck because, you know, that way he gets to be like the artists who all can draw pictures, and people do commissions and people do sketches. I mean, Eric Larson has done sketches for me at multiple comic conventions. Like I said, Savage Dragon was the beginning of how I got into books. But when I finally, like, you know, I followed Deadpool into that comedy thing and then into, Marvel Comics, the Marvel Knights, and then started going back to read all these huge DC things years later. And like, there are just striking storytellers and beautifully told, interesting mysteries and comedies and just everything that you can imagine in the world of literature. It exists in Marvel and DC Comics, really, you know, somewhere. There's some good bit of like that thing. But there are things that are fleeting in large supply, and those things exist in droves other places. Like, if you like soap operas, there's some great X-Men comics that you can read that have some of those aspects of it that are really enjoyable, and it's high level and interesting in its own way. But then there's also Archie comics, and there's just a counter for everything. There are great independent comics, you know, artists who don't think that they're really good enough to do superheroes, and they just draw, like, you know, some crime book and something that's great. You know, like, one of my favorite books of all time is a book by Brian Michael Bendis and, my buddy Mark Andreyko called Torso. It's so good. It's so good. And it's based on the real first serial killer in America, and it's told in the style of Seven. And I really think that, like, that as a genre of, like, told in the style of Seven, you know, like in a little bit of that brutal suspense, Really horrifying real world, like that's, it's a cool genre. it is, I think that's genre defying. And, and there have been things that have been made like that, that are awesome. That's one of the cool things about comic books. Comic books sort of represent the thirst that can't be quenched. The thirst that can't be quenched in the world. Independent comic books and things that sell and rise to the top or whatever, like they rise to the top because there's a thirst that can't be quenched from the artist, and it connects with a thirst that can't be quenched from the readers. And I really feel like to some degree it's like the last grassroots creativity, because everything is just so invaded by money. And we are all people who chose to be like in the street, I'm not a lavish guy. I spend my money on toys. That's it. That's my vice. Toys and comics, things for my family. Everything else is, of course, like the foundational stuff. But if I have extra money, I'm spending it in small quantities here, there, not on anything that I'm trying to impress people with. I'm looking for good stories. I'm looking for beautiful art. I love and appreciate artists. That's what somebody like me, and I'm sure like you, is looking for. They say you got to know your audience. I feel like everybody's just been so reluctant, the same way I was reluctant to get into comics, to give them a try. These executives and everybody, we're adults. Oh, I don't read comic books. But they don't realize that it's about the big picture. And big picture wise, no matter if you don't like the style of the storytelling of maybe old school comics, but I think you'd be surprised of things even written, in the 70s, like from the 70s up, there's some really strong material coming out of these companies. And foundationally, the ideas were very strong. And the exaggerated nature of the characters give rise to situations that are very interesting and compelling. In general, they skip over these things when you're seeing these movies and you just get these like big, big, big stories. It's really about small and about the possibility. And the possibility gets established and expanded on from the beginning. Here's the Spider-Man guy. Here's a situation that he's come up against. Here's another situation, another situation, another situation. It's over time that there were so many possibilities of who Spider-Man might come up against and how many of them we loved and the possibility that a new one that we might love might come along, that it becomes the thing that we care about. That's why Batman has never really been done justice on the big screen, because it's reading the comics where all of these pieces are on the table. In the very beginning of the story, Batman sneaks into Arkham Asylum and he passes this lunatic. And you can kind of figure out from his name what the possibilities of his damage might be. And these are lunatics who are definitely hurting people, if not killing people. And there's one after another, after another, after another. Two-Face, the Mad Hatter, the Riddler, Calendar Man, and then you come to the Joker at the end of the hallway. This creates this atmosphere of what's possible in his world. And when there's a mystery, you're like, oh, maybe it's this villain, or maybe it's that villain, or maybe it's essentially like playing Clue, where you're sitting around going like, I know who this could be. And the greatest writers, they just use the atmosphere to great effect. That's why sometimes when professional writers at Marvel or DC go independent, they don't do a great job always of like setting up their own universe and their own universe rules, because they're used to working on things where that's all established. So like you have to create an atmosphere. And when you create space for people's thoughts, then you don't really have to go very far in your storytelling. Like the greatest thing that Marvel could have done was slow down with Avengers Endgame. Slow down and deepen everything that they had done. Start deepening everything in meaningful ways. Keep all those pieces on the board. Have Iron Man somehow survive. Have Rescue save him. Have them keep him alive on life support, whatever it is. Do the thing that you did to Hulk with him. It's just so wasteful to have him die. There are other ideas than just ending a story that we were very engaged in and ending Captain America at the same time and bringing all these things to a close. They could have gotten so much mileage out of these things. Anyway, I've got some stuff written here about I don't know shit about comics. The I don't know shit about comics mission statement. It is our goal to educate the uninitiated and finally grow the stagnant fan base of the single greatest entertainment medium ever created, comic books. We have a huge opportunity right now, more than ever, to take the millions of fans of the films and television shows based off of our comics and turn them into comics readers. I Don't Know Shit About Comics is essentially a traveling comics information booth designed to educate the interested and empower the fanatic by providing simple testing of the rudimentary knowledge needed to read comic books, or rather, dispelling all of the erroneous beliefs through a test that dismisses them. Made up of I Don't Know Shit About Comics volunteers, which included myself and Aaron Sparrow. I don't know if anybody else ever did it with us. I think I had some friends helping us. Maybe my ex-wife Patty was helping us at the time at New York ones or whatever. We only did a few conventions. It's really funny to go back and read this because like I only just like read through it and I was crappy with reading it, so I decided to read it again. But it's really interesting to see what I wrote, and I appreciate it. I just realized I'm like I wasn't giving it the proper bravado it needed. So now I am. I'm giving it the proper thing. Where was I? There are no dumb questions about comics. Okay, well, that's true. In order to do that, we need to re-educate the mainstream about comics. We need to de-emphasize what is difficult and focus on what is simple. My first comic book was The Thing number 34, and I had no idea what was going on, but I loved it. It doesn't matter where you begin, only that you begin. And the sooner, the better. You know what it's called when you're reading a book and you're not exactly sure what is going on? Intrigue. Reading comics doesn't have to be a huge production. Just pick one up and read it. You know that comic books aren't viewed as a form of entertainment by the mainstream. We're like toys. Comics have been so good for so long, and thanks to the dominance of comics-based films and television shows in popular culture, we are seeing a renewed interest in our industry as a whole. Yet we seem unable to form a plan of action to get these hopeful new readers. But we are largely leaving new readers to fend for themselves in terms of figuring out how to read comics. I guess I hadn't formulated that sentence. It's broken up. But I said we have an opportunity to reach new people thanks to the growth of our presence in other mass media. Despite the hopeful message of the superhero comics this industry was built on, the image of the comic book fan is unwelcoming. So I didn't even get to like finish this elevator pitch to like sponsors and stuff because I was just doing it. And I thought it would be cool if like we could get like some sponsors and give out candy and give out drinks and stuff and whatever, and just be like there as a service to the industry. And you know, I could promote whatever comic books I was working on at the time. And at the time that I made it, I was working for Marvel and DC and, you know, eventually Disney and Pixar and the Muppets. You know, now I've been doing independent stuff because I got very frustrated with the industry. As don't we all. As don't we all in the industry. But don't be afraid to buy a comic. I promise you, if you're somebody who likes, you know, my entertainment stuff and you're listening to me talk about comics right now really passionately, like, dude, oh, we need readers. There's so much to appreciate. There's just so many brilliant creators, so many brilliant artists, especially if you're an artist. If you appreciate art, just read some comics, man, or woman. Go to the Barnes & Noble or whatever, and you flip through some. I recommend doing the thing where, you know, you like watching TV shows where there's a new episode every week, and you're like, oh, you're so excited. That's comics. It's monthly. You know, there's a new book every month, and when you get a great one going, it's just the best. It's the best. And sometimes there'll be multiple going at once. And every week you'll get this like special gift from the artistic gods of something wonderful that you really enjoy. And lots of people have found their way to various fantasy things and whatnot. But I'm going to try to direct you right now to a variety of things, where to start for all sorts of characters that you might know. But first, let's just, I don't know shit, FAQ. Question, who are comics created for? A, everyone, except blind people, unfortunately. I'm a dick. Question, what is the difference between a graphic novel and a comic book? A, nothing. Comics and graphic novels are essentially the same thing. In fact, the majority of graphic novels are simply collected editions of individual comics. Yeah. Question, when are new comics released? A, every Wednesday. Most titles maintain a monthly release schedule. Question, where can you buy comics? Answer, at comic book stores, bookstores, and digital download online. To find a comic shop near you, visit comicshoplocator.com or just call 1-888-COMIC-BOOK. What type of comics genres are available to read? Answer is, just like books, TV, and film, comic books come in every genre. Action, comedy, drama, family, fantasy, sci-fi, superhero, and everything in between are strongly represented in the comics medium. Question, why read the comic when I can wait for the TV or film adaptation? Answer, there are many reasons. Here are a few. One, just like films adapted from books, the comics are usually better than their moving picture counterparts. Two, comics can do things other entertainment mediums cannot. What? Read some comics and you will quickly find out. Three, films and television are limited by budget. Comics are only limited by imagination. Question, how do you read a comic? A, just like a book, top to bottom, left to right. If you can read a novel, you can read a comic through reading manga. Though reading manga, Japanese comics, is almost exactly the opposite. Starting from the back of the book, you would read top to bottom, right to left. Question, where do I start? Answer, number one, a graphic novel might be a good place to start, but it really doesn't matter. Just pick up a book, flip through it, and if you like the art, start reading. I don't know shit about comics. Creator Jesse Snyder's first comic was The Thing number 34. He didn't know anything about comics prior to that issue and has been reading comics ever since. It's true. There's actually some real truth that I was a very loose reader. It was the fight between Bedrock and Savage Dragon in the Savage Dragon issue that really got me into comic books, and I love Eric Larson forever for doing that for me, for bringing me into this place. So let's see, what do we got here? We got the I Don't Know Shit About Comics starting points. And I might let myself go late on this show. It's a cool episode, and you know, might as well have it. It's a cool thing that you can save, and you can come back to this at other points. But these are some I Don't Know Shit About Comics starting points for things that you might be interested in comics. The Amazing Spider-Man. If you're interested in getting into some of the great Amazing Spider-Man, try Amazing Spider-Man Brand New Day Volume 1 by Dan Slott, Mark Guggenheim, Steve McNiven, and Salvador LaRocca, to name a few. There's a whole bunch of people that worked on those issues. Eventually, Joe Kelly, who's one of my favorite writers, he gets involved in that stuff. The art is super high level. They put these things out like weekly or like bi-weekly. I forget exactly what the schedule was. It was a fast schedule, and it features so many of your favorite characters just doubled down, reinterpreted, but in like just without, you know, the reinterpretation done right is like it's everything that it was before, but a little bit extra version of itself. And they did a great job at really extra versioning itself, so many of these Spider-Man villains. This whole arc of and it goes on for a while. So like I tried with these lists to give you guys things that would take you on a journey. So if you really want to go on a journey and have a really long story that you could follow, a great one that'll go on forever. I should have wrote on all these, like how many issues you'll get of that if you want to just like start there and do it. But you can find that run, The Amazing Spider-Man Brand New Day, Volume 1. Okay, how about the Avengers? You like New Avengers? Try New Avengers Breakout. It's just got the right modern storytelling sensibilities. It also has Spider-Man and Wolverine in it. It's got Captain America and Iron Man, and it's generally run in the right tradition with an air of tradition to the Avengers franchise, and but it breaks new ground and is exciting and fun and gives you a look at a lot of villains and a lot of corners of the Marvel universe. I think it's just really effective in some of the, you know, gimmicky things that it does of, for the first time ever, putting Spider-Man and putting Wolverine on this team together, adding them to the Avengers. And there's a lot more really cool characters who are utilized in the book. And some of them, I don't always love the way they're utilized. You know, I don't really love what they've ultimately done with the Sentry, for one, who was a character I really adored, who's in the book. But it's still really good. It's still Brian Michael Bendis being at the height of him being generally loved by the audience and doing some really cool things with the medium. David Finch's art is awesome. And there's the story arcs that come out of this, it goes into a story arc called Dark Reign that is super, super fun. And so if you dig into this storyline, it'll put you into a lot of comics really fast. And it'll get you into a lot of other crossover comics really fast at a place and time where the books were really good. If you go back and you read those Century miniseries, it's really good. The first one is really, really good. And then you see Paul Jenkins' name and Jay Lee, and you'll go, oh, maybe I should also read the Inhumans that they did. Yeah, you definitely should. Go back, read that. So, like, you know, this is how you'll fall into the pit of comic books, because you'll see, oh my God, this was wonderful. And once you find something that was wonderful, you go, surely they've done more work than just this. And that's the thing about comics, is there are people who have been working for a long time where if you find somebody that you love, you could just do this deep dive into their work, and you can just keep finding thing after thing after thing. And that's it. Like, that's the blessing of, like, as soon as you get one whose voice you like, and you're in like Flynn. All right, moving on to Captain America. You want to try some Captain America? Begin with Captain America Volume 1, Winter Soldier, Book 1 by Ed Brubaker and Steve Epting. That book is incredible. It's the one that basically the Winter Soldier storyline in the films is based on, but it's so much better in the comics than it is in the films. You'll get a lot of storylines out of that, a lot of graphic novels. And graphic novels are generally collections of somewhere between 4 and like 10. Sometimes it'll be more if it's like a big collection, an omnibus or something like that. But it's a lot of books is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, like, if you'd like to dig into a great TV show and you're like, oh man, there's 7 seasons of this. Yes, please let it never end. Oh no, I'm on the 7th season and it's gonna be over. Then comics are the place for you. The Dark Knight, Mr. Batman. Try The Long Halloween by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. And that'll get you into the basics of the Batman mythology. It'll show you what kind of options are there, what diversity of creativity is there in some of the Batman stuff that's been released over time. And the Batman mythology is strong in the comic books. These things stand the test of time. Go read some of these classic stories and get an appetite for things, and then jump in to whatever is going on right now. Everybody would be into comic books the same way I believe myself, or if you're out there and you're listening and you've read some of these things, you know what I'm talking about. It's really high level fiction that's going on. We just have to believe this one little bend in, you know, that these things are possible so that we can see and imagine something that's really off the chain and creates all of these scenarios that just aren't possible in normal fiction, where generally the same things are created over and over and over and over again, situations, because there's only so many possibilities. Well, there's just a lot of possibilities in high-level fantasy and science fiction and superhero comics in particular. So moving on, Arrow, if you're a fan. Oh, and by the way, the Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, they are two of my favorite creators of all time. They've written tons of things. If you just read that Batman Long Halloween and you like it too, you can get into them. Just get into Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale as a writing and artist partnership. They work wonderful together. They've made these wonderful, just wonderful thing after wonderful thing, and they've made some things for Marvel. They've made some things for DC. There's a bunch more Batman things from them that are really fun. And there's actually one story from Tim Sale that's amazing that's collected in a Batman Legends of the Dark Knight volume that is, I don't know what volume is. I think it's called Blades. It's the first thing that Tim Sale had ever done at DC, I guess, with another writer. But it is just a beautiful story. I love that one. Made me fall in love with Tim Sale's work. He's so great. He's a great, great, great creator to follow. I don't know if he does other things besides that. I've always been meaning to, like, follow him further. And I should. I should find him somewhere because he's just one of my favorites. Anyway, Arrow, if you're into Green Arrow. Oh, this is funny. This is really funny. I didn't realize that the way I wrote this was, if you liked this thing, you might like this thing. So I said specifically, if you like The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield, and, you know, it was more modern takes on some things. Something that I would recommend if you like the Sam Raimi thing, go read Spider-Man Kraven's Last Hunt. There's a graphic novel of Spider-Man Kraven's Last Hunt. The artist's name was on the tip of my tongue, but beautiful art, beautiful story. Kicks ass, like, really worth reading. And another one of those books that surprised me. And so often comic books do, just because the writers don't know that they're just comic books. So when good writers show up, like, just comic books can do so much. It's really incredible. So it says, if you liked Arrow, try Green Arrow Quiver by Kevin Smith, Phil Hester, and Andy Parks. Love that one. Don't remember it super well off the top of my head. I seem to remember there was like a monster and like some little kid, whatever. But I really liked it, and I liked the stories that came out of this storyline. I think there's a writer who I liked who took over the story arc, and he continued with the characters, and they did some really good things. I followed this arc for a very long time. I really enjoyed Phil Hester in particular as an artist on Green Arrow. I don't know, I just liked it. He's got an abstract kind of style, but it was really cool, and whenever I think of Green Arrow, I see his style. And Kevin Smith's story was great. It was really cool. He introduced his character Onomatopoeia, who's occasionally shown up at different points in time, and it was really well done. I think it was like 12 issues, and then they brought in some other people to do some cool things. And I think this might have been connected to Brad Meltzer's run of some stuff. Generally speaking, all of these things that I'm like setting you up here and offering to you, like to recommend, they're things that lead into a lot more really great stuff that you'll easily be able to find and will be sort of alluded to in one way or another. Clearly the story goes on. And so I'm really setting you up for success here if any of these things do interest you on any level. So moving on, we got, if you really like Green Lantern, like I was doing my show Toys, 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 which is now every Thursday, which is 4-7 Pacific, 4 Eastern, but only on YouTube, where me and my toy buddies, including Aaron Sparrow, talk about how we know so much about the industry by virtue of what is really successful. We know what's popular because we're toy people, because we buy things. And one of my toy buddies said Green Lantern. He actually really liked it. He was defending the film. He was saying there was a lot of problems with it, but he was just saying he really liked it on some levels, aspects of the idea about it. And if you did like it, like him, you could try much better, I think, much better, Green Lantern Rebirth by Geoff Johns and Ethan Van Sciver. It's fucking incredible. It leads to so many amazing storylines. It's just beautifully drawn, beautifully written. He fixed sort of a lot of problems that were sort of inherent with where the story had been left of Hal Jordan and brings him back to life. And there's a ton of great stories that come after this. And like, I can't tell you, I can't tell you how excited I am for you that you get to go and read Green Lantern Rebirth. I've been waiting for myself to start going back and rereading some of these books that I know are so fucking good when I finally like feel like I don't remember them anymore. But I still remember. And oh man, Green Lantern Rebirth. Oof. It's great. And everything that comes after it is great. The regular Green Lantern book takes a little bit to get started, but still good and solid. Geoff Johns is a brilliant writer. And the artists that are being worked with there, Carlos Pacheco and other people, are great. And Ethan Van Sciver comes back eventually for various things. But there's also a Green Lantern Corp book that comes out after this at that time. And this Green Lantern Corp book and these books together equal just like a great place to start reading and getting into the Green Lanterns. You get just so many great characters, and it goes to great places. I won't spoil anything for you from here. Anyway, if you liked Hellboy, try Hellboy Volume 1, Seed of Destruction by John Byrne and Mike Mignola. I'm just going to say go read that. Just go read it. If you liked Hellboy, go. It's just like that stuff. It's done. It's just all very interesting. Guillermo del Toro's style is interesting in similar ways to Mike Mignola's style. He has different helpers at different points in time, but eventually he, you know, takes over plotting most of the stuff. If you get into it, there's like so much to read in connection with it. He's been working with other artists that I really like. I do Duncan Fegredo, I think, is one of them, who's really brilliant. Somebody that I like who was at Marvel, and then eventually I saw him working with Mike. Incredible Hulk. If you like The Incredible Hulk, and the fucking Incredible Hulk. I hated that movie. Try The Incredible Hulk Planet Hulk by Greg Pak, Carlos Pagualavan, Aaron Lopresti, and Juan Santa Cruz. Great book. Great place to start. Really does some fun stuff with the character, and it's just a good place to dig in. And there's tons of things to dig into after that, but that's just a good place to begin. And generally speaking, I trust that these books are going to have advertisements for other graphic novels that they recommend. So you can try some other things after that. You can see what suits your fancy. Or by then, maybe you're going to a comic book store and you can say, hey, what else do people really like? You know, what else do you think will keep me coming back for some books? Until you find out what your taste is and you see what writers you want to follow, what artists you want to follow. I follow writers. There's very few artists who I love so much that I read anything that they do. But there are some. Writers can put out a lot of books. And that's why I say it's such a rewarding thing reading comic books, because when you find a writer you like, that's the jackpot. There's just like so much to go find. If you find more Geoff Johns stuff, and I mean, the things that get promoted by him are not the greatest ones. You know, read The Flash. I mean, we'll probably get to some of that stuff in a little bit in my list here. Let's see. Boop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop. Iron Man. If you liked Iron Man, try Iron Man Extremist by Warren Ellis and Andy Granoff. There's some good stuff that comes after that. It's a good place to start. There's some really cool stuff. The Extremist thing, like that name you'll recognize from the films, they really did Extremist a disservice, I think, in terms of what they did with that film. And it was worth doing it more accurately. Yeah, I wish they would have adapted this better. That book's a great one to start. You'll be recommended plenty of things after it. Kick-Ass. If you like the Kick-Ass film, try the Kick-Ass comic book. It's great. It's different in some significant ways, and it'll introduce you to the art of John Romita Jr. and the writing of Frank Millar. He's got a really great style about him because everything he does is pretty idea-driven. I see that he's always trying to find really interesting scenarios to put people in, put the characters in, to put the story in, to twist it in different ways. And he's really interesting. He's doing a big crossover with all of his comics right now, which means it'll be collected into a graphic novel a bunch of months from now. So you could go dive into some different Mark Millar books, because he's got a lot of variety within the things that he's offered, even though they're all like kind of badass action-y cool kind of things, but a lot of different things that he's done. And you can get into this big crossover that he's doing, I think called The Big Game or Big Game, which I like want to catch up on the books too, because I didn't follow him on his independent ride. I kind of like missed a bunch of different things, so I was a little bit behind on it, even though I do like a lot of his work and I've read a lot of his work, but I don't feel like I've read enough to enjoy Big Game. So I got to go back and read all these things that I missed so that I can enjoy all the characters that show up, because I like, you know, I like when it's all tied together. I think we're all one, and I like to live in a universe where it's all tied together. Continuing, if you like that movie The Losers, I don't know if you remember that, it was a little bit more recent at the time, but it was like action adventure kind of movie. Try The Losers Book One by Andy Diggle and Jacques. This says Scott Pilgrim versus the World. You should, of course, try Scott Pilgrim Volume One, Scott Pilgrim Precious Little Life by Brian Lee O'Malley. Sin City, try Sin City Volume One, The Hard Goodbye by Frank Miller. I'm not going to keep saying, you know, these are all adapted from the work, but the comics are all a little different in their own way. If you like Superman, try Superman Secret Origin by Geoff Johns and Gary Frank. Really great place to start. It's just a beautiful story of Superman. It shows you the Superman that I love, that people love. Again, there's Geoff Johns. Teen Titans Go, then read Teen Titans Volume 1, A Kid's Game by Geoff Johns, Mike McCone, and Tom Grummett. Great one. You like Thor? Try Thor Volume 1 by J. Michael Straczynski and Olivier Coppel, I think. Straczynski, of course, is the creator of Babylon 5, which is a really cool, well-written show. He's written some great books. You know, he's another guy that you can find who's done some comic book work, and his comics are awesome. He's done some really good stuff. He did a book called Midnight Nation that was pretty cool, like a horror, supernatural thing. And he did another book called Rising Stars, which really popularized him as a comic book writer. It was very cool. Rising Stars was, I don't know why they haven't adapted it into anything. Rising Stars is a good one to recommend, like Rising Stars by J. Michael Straczynski. Really good one. It was just about these certain group of people who all got superpowers. And I think that like when they killed each other, they got more powerful. I don't know if it was like a one situation kind of thing, but the power was being focused into all these individuals and they all had different power. And then like somebody was going around trying to kill them. But it was really good. It was murder. You know, it was told as like a mystery. It's all about how the stories are told, man. You know, the comic book stories are told so damn well. And the idiots who produce these films, I don't understand how these things get broken. Well, I do understand how these things get broken. It's just like people don't know. They've never been introduced to it being done in such a high level. And it gets done here because for so long, people weren't really looking at comic books. And there were just great things happening all the time. All right, so The Walking Dead, of course, you want to get Robert Kirkman, Tony Moore, Charlie Adler, and Cliff Rathburn's The Walking Dead Book 1. And the comic is so much better than the show. The show's cool. I've watched a couple seasons of it. It's great. But they jump off the rails with a number of things. They did some good things with Shane, you know, and there's some great things with the Norman Reedus character. But I promise you, it's far superior. A really, really well done book. And Robert Kirkman as well. The Invincible comic book. People like the animation. My son's been loving the animation. It's great. The freaking comic it's rad, man. It's rad. Invincible was a book that I was looking forward to every month as I was reading. And I had to catch up with the books and then was reading it so I could read it. And really, really great one. Okay.
X-Men.
If you really like the X-Men movies, you got to try Astonishing X-Men by Joss Whedon and John Cassidy. Great, great place to start. There's just so many other books out there that you could go and enjoy, but very modern, beautifully drawn, beautifully written. Somebody that you know you already like, the director of the Avengers, creative person who you trust, but this will open up a lot of doors for you for more from here with the X-Men. There's plenty of great stories, but I think that's a great one for new readers. All right, we got 10 comic book gems here. My 10 comic book gems are Batman Arkham Asylum, really, really awesome, written by Grant Morrison, drawn by McKenna, Dave McKenna, some McKenna. It's like painted. It's super cool. It's just like Batman's like walking around Arkham Asylum, and it's just like this horror house, and every cell for all of these characters are just these gnarly interpretations of Killer Croc and Two-Face, and just everybody in the book of Batman is in Arkham Asylum in some cool way. You'll wish there were more. Mr. Freeze, just and all of them depicted so freaking cool. Oh, I have it written here. It's Dave McKean. Yeah, he's freaking awesome. Anyway, Grant Morrison and Dave McKean, Batman Arkham Asylum. Awesome. The Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller, Klaus Janson, and Lynn Varley. Awesome. The book that the Batman vs. Superman movie is kind of loosely based on. Much better as a dystopian future. It's like it's a far future where Batman and Superman end up having this problem because Superman's become a tool of the government, as so many of us do over time. And it's awesome. It's really, really great. It holds up. People always like to debate of whether The Watchmen or The Dark Knight Returns are the greatest comics of all the time. The Watchmen's a little stuffy for me, honestly. I like things a little bit less stuffy. I like a good story well told. And sometimes some of these great writers, I think they get in their own way a little bit. And there are these better journeyman writers who just like lean into these characters and lean into these stories and just do such a service to the characters and make me love the characters that much more. So, you know, and Frank Miller is somebody who's done great service to Batman, run great service to so many different so many different characters and the medium in general. Next up, we've got Kingdom Come by Alex Ross and Mark Waid. It's fully painted. Great place to start. Mark Waid is one of the great writers of comics. Alex Ross is one of the great artists of comics. I'm sure you've seen some of his beautiful paintings. They just look real. Amazing stuff. I love Alex Ross. Coming up next, also Alex Ross, we've got Marvels by Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross. Kurt, I enjoy Kurt's work quite a bit, and with Alex Ross team here, is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Next up is one of my favorites, Mouse, The Complete Mouse. This is like, it's by Art Spiegelman. It won the Nobel Prize. This is one of the things I point to that comic books, we win Nobel Prizes. That's what we do. This is it's a cartoon where these mice are being depicted as the Jews and tigers are being depicted as the Germans. And there's all these different animals. The Polish people are pigs, etc.
And it tells a story of the creator's grandfather and his experience in World War II. Nothing that I have ever digested about World War II has ever taught me more about World War II than this single graphic novel. This story here, that's based on his grandfather's story, it just explains it all. It tells you everything that you need to know about how the people got beaten, like what happened.
I think I've watched every movie on World War II that they've ever made and tons of documentaries. Nothing taught me more about how it all happened than reading this comic.
And like, it's so interesting. And it's so funny because it's, you know, a story told by mice and tigers and shit. And it's great. That, I think, is probably the greatest comic book of all time. It is just so well done. I mean, just as like a singular thing that you can get through, Mouse. It's really the best. Now, Spider-Man, Kraven's Last Hunt by J.M. DeMatteis and Mike Zeck. I already mentioned earlier. Oh, Mike Zeck is the artist. He's a great freaking artist. And J.M. DeMatteis is a great writer. Superman for All Seasons is a Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale book. It's a just, you know, I told you Batman, A Long Halloween. I was talking about Superman and Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. This is just another one that's great. I talked about Torso by Brian Michael Bendis and Mark Andreyko. It's amazing. We talked about Watchmen by Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons. It's really great. It's a little bit of a hard thing. If you're like a new reader, if you struggle with books, don't start with Watchmen. It's a bit much. Like if you're somebody who doesn't generally read, but like, you know, you want to, there are plenty of books here that you could read that are not slogs and difficult to get through. You know, Spider-Man Kraven's Last Hunt is a relatively brisk read. Superman for All Seasons is a brisk read, but great. These things are great. We Three, which is next on the list, written by Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely. Oh my God, incredible. Get you into Frank Quitely. He's an amazing artist to follow. He's done some X-Men, great. Grant Morrison, he's done some X-Men. He's done lots and lots of wonderful work. Grant Morrison's one of my favorite writers in comics.
All right, so that's 10 comic book gems, and we are approaching an hour on a Saturday episode, which is usually shorter episodes, but I guess we're just going to call this the comic book special, okay? 10 killer first volumes, some things that, like I said, can start you off on a long journey of discovery. I won't give too much away on these books, but I recommend these. 100 Bullets, Volume 1, First Shot, Last Call, published by DC's Vertigo label, written by Brian Azzarello, and art by Edward Rizzo. Rizzo's work is great. Azzarello's a really great writer. And the basic premise of this story is just super awesome. What would you do if somebody showed up at your house and gave you 100 untraceable bullets and handgun and clear evidence of the person who was solely responsible for every bad thing that had ever happened to you in your life? This is basically what happens in every 100 Bullets story, with our revolving cast of people being given this briefcase and this opportunity. It's really awesome. The Authority, Volume 1, Relentless by Warren Ellis and Brian Hitch. Before you see this movie, see the comic book. The movie's going to probably suck, because the movie's not supposed to be in the DC universe. There are ways that they might be able to adapt it into the DC universe, but honestly, I really doubt that they're going to realize the problems inherent. The Authority is a great book, and you should really read the Warren Ellis and Brian Hitch stuff, and you can go forwards and backwards with reading more Authority, some written by Mark Millar, and backwards, what is it? Oh, it's Stormwatch, I think, is the series before the Authority. Stormwatch series. I haven't read all of those, but some of them are really great. I've heard really good things about it. Also, there's the Planetary series by Warren Ellis, which is awesome. Next up, we got Bone, Volume 1, Out from Boneville by Jeff Smith. Great, all ages, and just really unique style. I mean, just so iconic, and I love the style. I almost bought all the action figures. Bone is highly recommended. Coward, Criminal, Volume 1 by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. Great crime stuff. Awesome. Awesome. And he loves crime stuff. If you get the individual issues, he's got all this backup material. It's probably in the trade paperbacks of him just talking about his love of crime things and crime films and stories and stuff and recommending different people. Anyway, great one. And Sean Phillips' art's awesome. Very gritty. Daredevil Guardian Devil is by Kevin Smith and Joe Quesada and Jimmy Palmiotti. This will start you on a lifelong love of Daredevil. Begin here. I've talked about it before. Begin there with Kevin Smith and just continue on. You're going to have Brian Michael Bendis and David Mack and Ed Brubaker and Alex Maleev and Phil Winslade. Just so many brilliant creators. You know, up till today, I think with my buddy Marco Cecchetto, me and Marco know each other. The first work I ever did at Marvel, I did with Marco. And Marco's like blowing up right now in a huge Daredevil run. And the Daredevil run before that was a huge run by Mark Waid. It's rare that Daredevil is not kicking ass as a creatively, you know, solid publication for Marvel. And it really, like, the renaissance of it started with Kevin Smith and Joe Quesada and Jimmy Palmiotti, the beginning of Marvel Knights. I'm a big fan of this era, and it leads into so many amazing stories for Daredevil. Like I said, I think there's only one stinker in, like, all of the runs that have ever come out of Daredevil since this run begins. So you'll be reading Daredevil for a long time if you like it. Next up, we got Preacher Volume 1, Gone to Texas. Much better than that stupid TV series. I don't like the changes they made. I really love the series. It's really great. You should read it. One of my favorites of all time, Preacher by Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon. Rest in peace. Next up, Sandman Volume 1, Preludes and Nocturnes. This is not exactly my favorite personally, but people love Sandman. It's by Neil Gaiman, Sam Keith, Mike Drigenberg, a lot of other artists and creative people.
The storytelling with Neil Gaiman, he's just kind of like a magician who's like, I know I got something good here, so I'm just going to tell you like what I want to tell you. And you spend a lot of time kind of going like, what is he telling me? What is he telling me? And a lot of people like this. I like to just enjoy entertainment. Don't have to like hustle, 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 man. I'm like, dude, it's the end of the day. I've been working. I want to just enjoy this book. You're making it too hard on me. Anyway, Savage Dragon Volume 1 by Eric Larson. Oh my God, Savage Dragon Volume 1. And go read Savage Dragon. I recommend it wholly up until issue 75. Then after that, Eric took a whole bunch of advice he was giving to the medium of comics in his own comic really way too literally and changed the story that the readers had been following for a really long time in such a way that reading it became a slog in a lot of fashions. He got back on track somewhere along the way. I still read Savage Dragon when I get a chance. And, you know, if you're warned that after issue 75, it really goes off the rails for a second. But it's generally the most irreverent and nutty book that you will come across on the racks. It's really, really hilarious. The original book, I just thought, consistently brought forward stakes and circumstances and things that were just like, even when it was like dark or horrific or whatever, it was just funny. It was just always very shocking. And Eric Larson is a brilliant creator and I love him and I appreciate his contribution to the comic book medium. Holler at you, Eric. Also, we got The Sword, Volume 1, Fire, by the Luna Brothers. Luna Brothers are amazing creators. They have a whole bunch of great books. There's another book called Girls, which is great by them. The Sword, Volume 1, Fire, kicks ass. Really, really interesting, cool, well-laid-out story. And I think there's at least like 5 graphic novels worth of stories there. I mean, it's like 30 issues or something. Really good. Also, we got Think Tank, Volume 1, by Matt Hawkins and Rahsaan Ekeldahl. Think Tank. It was pretty neat, and it was like mad scientist book kind of thing. Right, to finish our list off, I've got another Garth Ennis book, but this time with John McCree and Carlos Esquerra. It's called Hitman, Volume 1, A Rage in Arkham. Hitman is a bounty hunter, just a, you know, regular hitman, like a John Wick kind of character who lives in DC, in the DC universe. And his interactions with the DC universe are just classic and awesome. The series, the story of Johnny Monahan, I love that character. I tried to pitch DC on a series that would bring him back in a Task Force Y, where they reanimated all these people and had them as a hit squad. And it was because I love this character so much because of this series. And there's a ton of graphic novels. You will enjoy going back because I didn't read them when they came out either. I read them as the graphic novels. And I actually did read like the last 20 issues or something like that as they came out. But I caught up to this book and it is just the best. Finally, we got Powers Volume 1, Who Killed Retro Girl by Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Avon Oeming. I love Michael Avon Oeming. He is not only a great artist, he's a great writer. He's written some great stuff himself. He wrote a miniseries for Marvel about Ares that was so freaking good that when Marvel killed Ares shortly after this, I was horrified because of how good Michael Avon Oeming's Ares series that he wrote was. And he's a great artist. And him and Brian Michael Bendis, they have a long run of making them really great, super stylized, fun to read Powers comics. And it's basically just about these detectives who investigate superhero crime. And it's awesome. There's just, it goes to so many places and is very, very cool. Brian Michael Bendis, his independent stuff is generally gold. You might find it to be hit and miss in mainstream comics with some of the things that he's done. The things that he built his career on are great in the mainstream comics. And his independent stuff, I think, has remained really solid. So if you really want to, if you read any of these ones with Brian's name on them and you like him, oh man, especially the crime stuff. He did a ton of great black and white crime books when he was coming up as a comic book writer. And his books are great. I don't know if it was like him trying to pitch movies to studios. Might have been on some level because they were all movie-like, but they were really, really solid and well done. And he drew some of them. Books like Goldfish and Jinx and forget the other names of some of these books, but great stuff. Brian Michael Bendis really has a long catalog of books that I would highly recommend. All right, well, that's it, guys. I think I've got like 24 hours left on my King of Kings Kickstarter right now. If you go there and pledge, I'll be your best friend. Help us just get in a few more pledges before we close this thing up so we can have more money to go to completing this 4-issue miniseries. It's really funny. You'll be really glad you helped us bring it to life. Follow me on Twitter. I am CoolestGeekJBS. You can write me an email anytime you want. I'm at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com. And you can listen to me every Wednesday and Saturday morning for another fabulous installment of The Coolest Geek Alive! You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening.
Talking some shit.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Living your shit.
My voice is gonna be fucking awesome.
Food in our mouth.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Getting them out.
It's gonna be
listen
fucking
to the
awesome.
Tell all your friends.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Call right our text.
It's gonna be fucking star. Awesome.
Raising the bar.
Fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. It's gotta be fucking awesome. Just wait. You'll see. You'll all see.
The Podcast Playground.
All right.